You're listening to episode 300 of the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. So
I think this is 301.
Why is this 301?
Because we were just recording, Ed and I, and you didn't like how you sounded or something. You thought it made you look bad. So then you decided to start over.
Wow.
Daniel.
That is true. Technically, this is 301. But really, when you
start, this is fake news right here.
Is the first year of the millennium 2000 or 2001? Because 2001 is technically the first year. So this is the first episode of the 300s, and this is the 300. So where's Xerxes? Where's the Battle of Thermopylae? Where is this great stuff? This is the 300. That's us.
So should we start actually using Roman numerals?
I think we should.
When we number our podcast?
That would be so awesome. So this is 300. Dun,
dun, I have no idea what that is in Roman numerals.
Oh my gosh. What are you? Were you raised in Canada? Oh my gosh. You don't know Roman numerals?
Hey, at least Canadians still learn cursive writing.
Wow.
We learn cursive writing.
First of all, it's real simple. The Roman numeral is C. So 300 is C, C, C. That's all. It's not hard. It's not hard. Could you not?
Did you just look that up?
No. In America, we learn these things. In Canada, I don't know what you're doing. You're out plowing snow? I don't know. But in America, Todd's from America, aren't you, Todd?
Hashtag America.
Yep. Hashtag America. M-E-R-I-C-A. M-U-R-I-C-A. But you don't make fun of, listen, we already, your prime minister ticked off our president already. So you better just move on before this gets into trouble.
All right. So
we'll stop letting you be our hat.
So the great thing about episode 300 is this is now the third time. This is the third time the three of us have been on together. And if you have listened to our podcast for any length of time, you know that we try not to make this about us other than the times where you guys like joking around like that. But what we try to do is we try to be really helpful in all the questions that we answer.
When are we going to be really helpful in the questions that we answer?
So,
I don't know.
So for episode 300, instead we wanted to take a slight turn. What we actually wanted to do was give you a glimpse into the people behind the podcast.
Ooh, so we're going to be talking about our cholesterol levels and get you really a really good glimpse.
Yes, and the goal for that is you always need to eat a ton of salmon and kale before you go for your exam.
Oh, no. Is that what it is? Helpful to know.
No, it's about 2 weeks worth, and then you'll actually see some your numbers change.
Wow, that's helpful. I don't know what it has to do with anything, but okay.
Yeah, so what we wanted to do today, once again, go behind the scenes and talk, I guess the first question here before we get into it is talk about our families, talk about the personal projects we're working on, and make a moment or create a moment. Things.
They just want to know how to gather a core group. That's all. They don't care. They don't care about Todd. They don't care about Daniel. They don't care about me.
No.
But if you want to do this and bore the socks off everyone, that's great.
All right. So before we get into our questions, I wanted to actually provide a giveaway here. Now, our giveaway for episode 100 and 200, we've always kind of done something big. But today, we want to give away $430 value.
It's not one of those crappy little speakers you gave out before, is it?
No. It's not the speaker anymore.
Those were terrible.
It was also a charger.
Yeah, it was a charger.
It was terrible.
It was multifunctional.
Multifunctional.
Hey,
Hey, I love mine. But here, this is what we're going to do. MyLeadershipPipeline.com. If you go there, you're going to learn about our pipeline conference here in Nashville, October 10 to 12.
I'm not
And what we're giving away is a trifecta ticket. So it's all 3 days pipeline coaching, our entire day of recruiting speakers, and then our third day of recruiting coaching. Now that's $430 for one person. And we're going to give that away.
Just for the record, I won't be there, so it's worth a little less.
It's worth $429.99.
So it's really easy to enter the giveaway. You need to leave a rating and review of our podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, and then take a screenshot of that and email it to me, Daniel, at newchurches.com.
Both of you are speaking at this, and I'm not. And yet I'm now Albert Tate. Oh, we got a funny story about Albert Tate. He's going to be there. Clayton King's going to be there. Tammy Himes, she's awesome, going to be there. Shannon Miles, you got quite a lineup here, and yeah,
it's a good lineup.
Who's not on this lineup? Let's look closely. Oh, me.
You know who else isn't on the lineup for your Amplify Jesus. Conference, Ed?
Jesus is not on the lineup.
We could go there too. But it's really easy. Amplify. Now, Amplify. All right. So once again,
when you guys would actually be known for telling people about Jesus, then I'll invite you.
Okay.
Okay. So it's really easy. Once again, leave a rating or review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. If you've done so already in the past, leave another one. Go hijack your spouse's
like
safer, account.
If you leave like 15 leave another reviews, one. The chances are higher that we will talk to you.
That's true.
All right, let's get into this. Are you guys ready?
I think so.
Okay, question number one. Tell us something about your family that you haven't shared on the podcast before. Who wants to go first?
My wife has been arrested 4 times.
Has she really?
No. I just tried to come up with something shocking because it sounds like it should be something shocking. So have you ever thought about that?
Well, you are Irish, so.
Well, that is true. Have you ever thought about how many times people have been arrested? How many times, like, have you been arrested, Daniel?
Never.
Okay. You've never been arrested?
I've been stopped by the cop.
How many times has George Bush been arrested, the former president?
3.
There you go. And how many times has Dick Cheney been arrested, the former vice president?
Oh. More.
2.
Oh, less.
So let me just say, I've never been arrested, but those guys got arrested a lot. Sorry, that was not my point. But Todd, something about your family. Are you married?
I am married. But I think most people know that.
Okay, we want to go beyond superficial, guys. Okay. Just tell us something deeper.
You give us an example. Show us, lead us the way, oh, king of self-disclosure.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so I haven't shared this on the podcast, but probably about a month and a half ago, we had quite a scare with Makarios having to go into the hospital. And he woke up one day with a little bit of a bump behind his ear. Christina was like, did he fall? Did he get bitten by a spider? Did something happen? And we went to the doctors, and the doctor was like, you need to go to the emergency right now, because they probably have to do surgery, or it might be this, might be that. And she probably shouldn't have said all the things it could have been. I hate it when doctors do that. But we were scared and went to the doctors, and he was at the hospital for a couple days. It ended up not being what they thought it was, praise the Lord. And it ended up being an infected lymph node. But it was really cool to see the number of people from our church and that kind of came visited us, and also coworkers and friends and other people currently where I'm living and in the past who kind of said, we're praying for you, let us know how we can help, and just a lot of support there. So that was a big scare for us. I mean, obviously anytime anyone's in the hospital, especially your children, it always kind of throws you for a loop. But the great thing is actually the lymph node, they didn't know. They actually said the lymph node is going to stay as big as it is, but he has you can't even tell anymore that there's any bump behind his ear. And we've had friends who've had the same thing, their kids, and they still have a big bump behind their ear or wherever the infected lymph node is. So all praise be to God and then through the way that he healed them. And that's something about me.
So he's completely fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so can I just say that one was kind of over the top, and Todd, good luck beating that one. He's completely fine, but it appears that the goal here is a really scary family situation. So you're next.
It doesn't have to be a really scary family
that
situation.
That was kind of scary.
But it's something that's happened recent that I was like, you know, I've never actually shared this on the podcast. So.
Wow. All right, Todd.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't substantiate this because my cousin told me.
Did he Instagram it? Because if he didn't Instagram it, then it didn't happen.
But okay, so we know very little about my dad's side of the family because we came from like the mountains of Kentucky during the Depression. I do know that my grandfather got on a bus when he was 8 years old. They put him on a bus with one of his brothers and sisters. There were 7 of them, but 3 of them they couldn't stay. They couldn't keep. So in, I can't remember what year it was, Great Depression, he was adopted more or less by a family that is in the county that I'm from. They were looking for a farmhand, but he was a you know, he was only eight. And the guy that got him had two teenage girl daughters, and they basically just really liked him and thought he was cute. So he did grow into the role and was a sharecropper and all this kind of stuff. But I mean, you know, literally my grandmother and grandfather never graduated high school. My grandmother never even had a driver's license. I mean, nothing. Did she drive a car? Yes, because it was middle of nowhere, Kentucky, guys. but the last person killed in the Hatfield and McCoy feud.
Ooh, the Hatfield and McCoy.
John Atkins. And it's supposedly my grandfather's uncle.
That's your grandfather's uncle?
One of his uncle, second uncle, something. Was an Atkins. Look, you can Google that part.
That's crazy.
But my cousin claims he did all the work. But it's really hard to tell because we know, well, you only know so much about his past, and the rest you have to just guess on. Mm. But he did have he did keep up with the brother and sister that was also adopted, and one of those was the one that led him back to that route. So.
Now, it's like twice removed. The only reason I know the Hatfield and McCoy feud is because of Hillbilly Elegy. Yes. And when I read that book, all I could think about was you, Todd.
I had several. I mean, Trevin Wax was like, Atkins, you've got to read this.
Yeah.
It's like, it's, and then I have people tell me to watch, there's some TV show. Everybody knows I don't watch TV, but there's some TV show that takes place in Kentucky. I don't know what, it's like a law show or.
Marshals no
or something.
If it's not about zombies, Ed doesn't know.
But the zombies.
Well, I'll get on the Googles and look it
zombies
up.
Zombies are everywhere.
I'll figure out what show
real.
It is.
That's not fiction.
All right, Ed, your turn.
I'm not sure that I want to participate in this. First of all, I knew that about your family and the Hatfields and McCoys. You've told me that before, so I knew that one. All right, so mine probably is that my aunt was a gun smuggler for the Ooh. Irish Republican Army.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's legit.
And a terrorist, actually. She was more crazy than anything. Sad, like in a sad reality, kind of mentally ill sort of way. But she was actually arrested by the ATF, burst into the home, and she had been smuggling guns to Northern Ireland after the Good Friday Accords. Not that it was okay before, but my family's very Irish. And one time I was visiting the White House, and there was actually a delay on my, you got to send your name in ahead of time and all that sort of stuff. And they wouldn't specifically tell me, but there were some questions in and around my aunt in about that time. So
no kidding.
No, true story. So there's mine. So it's, yeah, that's a whole story. A lot of sadness to that story, to be perfectly honest. But that's the whole story.
I know what Todd's thinking.
Tell what? Me.
Does Ed have any collector items from that, from the smugglage?
I do not have any. We don't, you need to get, I know, Todd, you're in the South, but, you know, Todd's Canadian. This gun stuff, you need to not talk about that. This is a global podcast. It freaks people out.
I don't talk about it that often at all.
All right, good.
And it's my co-hosts who bring stuff up.
Yes. Yes.
I collect historical items.
Historical items, yes. That's primary. One way of putting it. Okay, so question two. What are you afraid of personally and for your ministry?
Oh, I've got
And what are you going to do about it?
For me, giraffes. I'm terrified of giraffes. I have an irrational, you know who else does? Eminem. Eminem and me, we both have irrational fear of giraffes. True story. So that's mine. That's not what you're asking, but that's the only thing that came from mind for me is I just see giraffes and they look like blood-sucking aliens. So
did you know giraffes are actually quite scared as a species?
They're as an animal? Scary as a species.
So. No, I mean, they're like really, they're scared. They're super timid in the sense of if there's anything that changes about their surrounding, they'll literally look at it for like hours before they move because they're just super afraid of their environment. So are you saying something about that then? Something, do you have some sort of...
That was it.
Do you project yourself onto giraffes at all, or
no? There's no analysis here that's needed. I'm just afraid of giraffes. So, Just get that out.
Okay.
There.
Okay. So that's personal. That's fine. What about for your ministry, Ed? What are you afraid of?
Todd first.
So we're going to do all the personals and then all the.
Okay. Let's do that.
Ministries. You know, a couple of mine. What's one that just is completely irrational, Daniel?
Popcorn.
You're afraid of popcorn?
Yes. I have seriously? A very, very, yes, a very, very, very strong aversion to popcorn, especially like flavored popcorn or like one of those tins with the mixed popcorn in
that
it.
That is just like, I mean, if you, I could see being afraid of giraffes eating popcorn, but I don't see popcorn. Popcorn itself.
No, it's just like it's an OCD. It's like a dirt. I just think it's like the dirt, one of the dirtiest things ever.
So you don't like buffets or potlucks or anything?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not handling that very well.
What about Brazilian barbecue?
Yes.
You're okay. Is it because one person cuts it?
Yeah, one person is cutting it. It's all good there.
That's awesome.
Okay. I also won't ever send anything back. Like, I just won't eat it because I'm scared of what somebody's going to do on the other side.
Oh. All right. So for me, it is ants.
Ants?
Yeah. So not just like a couple ants.
No, I'm with you.
But
I'm with you. Ants are of the devil.
I had this recurring nightmare as a kid where I would wake up and the entire floor of my bedroom was covered with ants.
Okay, that is, were they giraffe-like ants or what did they look like?
Hey man, it's all the same. When every step you take, you're crunching a ton of them under your feet.
That's true.
Like it was, and honestly, recurring nightmare over and over again. And when I was in Thailand on missions there, we were out in a field praying for the kind of what the field could become and just for the nation and all the stuff. So we were doing that. And then the next thing I look, my foot is covered with red ants.
See, those will kill you. Have you seen the
Fire Ants?
Yeah. 1977 film. One of the great films of all time. Ants will come. They're going to kill you.
Yes.
I've seen that. When I was a kid, I lived in Orlando as a teenager. It was fire ants. And so
totally.
I actually burned an entire baseball field down because I was pouring too much gas on an ant hill and ant mound, and I cut the whole thing on fire. I had to call the fire department. So ants have led to arson for me. So I'm with you.
That's awesome.
Ants are really bad, and you know, and the killer ants are like killer bees. Well, they don't really exist, but I think that's one you need to remember. So you got to watch. There's all kinds of ones, but The Empire of the Ants, 1977. Kind of considered a classic in horror movie fame.
Is there a Mystery Science Theater on that one?
I have no idea.
Because that would be amazing.
All right. Okay. So what are you afraid of, Ed, for your ministry?
Giraffes. Still giraffes.
Giraffes in the church.
I am terrified of giraffes in the church. I think for me, you know, it's interesting, even watching my own denomination recently, where you see some leaders who are sort of remembered. You're going to be remembered for how you finish, not how you started. Hmm. And I want to make sure that I finish well and wisely. And I think so. I think probably that is finishing well. I want some people in my life who say to me, "Hey, it's time for you to step away. It's time for you to step out. It's time for you to change this." And I think, sometimes people become unaccountable and don't have somebody speaking in their life. You know, I have a fellowship group that speaks into my life and helps me make wise decisions and more. So I think probably, I don't know if that's greatest fear, but something I've been thinking about just watching my own denomination sort of go through some implosion over some leaders who didn't finish well.
I'm going to say two. Okay, so one would be like early on in college, especially. I mean, I was a philosophy and rhetoric guy. I didn't go to a Bible college or anything like that. So, I mean, I was wrestling and struggling with a lot back then. if any of the papers that I wrote then ever came out, I would be done.
There you go.
Because it doesn't matter. It does not matter who I am now or what I believe now. It matters whatever the, you know, perception is reality and whatever the I don't know. People are going to believe what they want to believe it to a certain extent. And so there's some cases where it's like, it's almost like it, the accusation of something can take you out. And yeah, it's just like,
didn't Louis Giglio one time, wasn't he going to pray at the National Prayer Breakfast or something? And some sermon from a long time ago came out or something.
It's just like, there's some of that stuff, especially early on or even, anyway. But the bigger thing is really, you know, more me now. I mean, I'm watching guys that, you know, I went through seminary with or have known for a long time and thought that they were, you know, more godly, had a better prayer life, better marriage, whatever, fill in the blank. And these guys are just falling out left and right. And I'm like, it's just super scary to me. So I don't know. It's like, I do not want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. Do I think I'll be that guy? No. But I'm sure some of them didn't think that they would be that guy either. Mm. So it is really, you know, what can I do on a daily basis to make sure I don't ever drift toward a place that allows me to make a bad decision? Because there's a lot of things that you can do. I mean, some of those things just happen where it's like, oh, you're forced to a decision. And a lot of times I'm like, no, you just kind of let yourself be led up to the line until, you know, you cross the line. So don't even get anywhere near any lines.
Yeah.
And there's multiple lines, right? I mean, there's guys that have been taken out because of an abuse of one type or another, whether it be substance abuse or even things that they needed medically or for whatever. There's certainly, people that have made poor choices when it comes to relationships or ruined their marriages or fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And man, I just don't want to get anywhere near one of those things.
Yeah. And in light of those two, if you haven't yet listened to the podcast, the Five Leadership Questions podcast, where we talk to Eric Geyer on his book, How to Ruin Your Life, be sure to do that. Go pick up the book. Both are going to be in our show notes. But
it really is a good read and a timely one at that.
Yeah. Now, I'd agree with you guys both on what you both said there. But to change it up a little bit, I guess for me, if my kids grew up not to love the Lord and serve the Lord, I think that would just be incredibly devastating. Like at that point, it's like it doesn't matter what I've done, what I've accomplished, or what I'm doing at the moment. If my kids have turned their backs to the Lord, I think that would just ruin me. It would just hurt so much. So, man, I'm doing what I can right now and praying for them and spending time in the Word with them.
It's really nice, though, you are making choices, and we all need to make choices in line with that. If pastor the whole world and your kids walk away. Now, again, you know, you're not going to be completely in control of that. They're going to be people of their own free minds and free wills. But I would say that we have to make choices now, and I love that you are. That's what you're saying. We have to make choices now that address how we might avoid unnecessarily driving our kids away, knowing that they're still sinners like we are and more.
Yeah, that's good. All right, the next question is what personal projects?
This podcast isn't near as fun as 100 or 200, Daniel.
It's not okay. Near, you know, we actually got complaints at 100 because we were such doofuses. So 200 was a little better.
Okay. Now the thing about 300 is it's either going to be the most listened to episode because we never talk about ourselves this much on the podcast.
Right.
So it's either going to be the most listened to or the least listened to because it doesn't have a question we're addressing.
Widely despised podcast ever.
Yeah. All right. So the next question is no dings allowed, Ed or Todd.
Wow.
What personal projects?
Dings allowed, Ed. Oh, and Todd too.
Yeah. What personal project that you're working on? It could be a book, it could be something you're writing or doing, a course or just anything personal, not related to new churches. What are you working on personally right now that you're most excited about?
Who first? Todd first.
No, it's Ed first.
No, Todd first. All right, I'll go first. So I just finished up and working on the study guide for like literally this morning, working on a study guide for Christians in the Age of Outrage, bringing our best when the world is at its worst. It comes out in September. I'm actually doing a book tour. Maybe I'll be coming to a church near you.
Nice.
And so that's the thing I've been pouring my heart into. It's kind of my baby. And so I'm kind of excited about it.
Awesome. You want to give us a little bit of a sneak peek into what that, you know, what does that mean, Christians in the Age of Outrage?
Did I forget this?
You didn't know this?
I forgot.
No, you knew it though.
Yeah.
You knew.
It's so you know, everyone's right now yelling past each other.
Yes.
This comes out right before the midterm elections too, so it'll be worse. And you know, just the everyone's outraged all the time. I literally get on Twitter some mornings, I just tweet out, "All right, so what are we outraged about today?" And literally dozens of people are outraged about something every time. And so I've been asking questions, how do Christians engage in these issues? And also too, it's interesting because I think online has sort of, you know, think of the comment streams in so many articles. They're just a shark tank. And so so I've actually tried to deal with online discipleship in there as well. And, you know, this online stuff's, you know, a decade plus old, really. And we haven't really thought through how we're going to biblically think about these things, how we're going to make wise choices, that kind of stuff. And so it's a book to help people walk through that. The study guide is called Christians at Their Best. Just trying to help people get a little less, get a little less angry, a little more on mission.
That's awesome. I'm excited about that. Todd, how about you?
I would say B-traps.
B-traps?
I'm just kidding.
You have made B-traps.
Well, I made lots of B-traps. I hate carpenter bees. They're a plague.
B-traps for real? I've always wanted to do like honeybees. Have you ever, you like a honeybee thing?
Yeah. They're, my family raises bees.
So bees. You are so, you know, the things I learned about you on this podcast, first of all, the fact that I actually learned you were on this podcast at about episode 200 was fascinating. but that's awesome. But now that you are, you're just full of fascinating stuff.
Yeah. I can talk in depth about types of bees. Russian bees versus European bees.
Let's talk about killer bees. I was always afraid of killer bees.
They're not going to make it to Chicago.
When so I saw the picture, I lived in Orlando at the time when I first saw these things. They were coming up to kill us, and I knew they were. But they don't think they... I'm going to Google right now, see if they made the whole distance or not. Are they in the U.S. now?
Yeah, but deep, deep, deep south.
Yeah, but it didn't turn out to be so bad. I mean, they're not like as mean and bad as everyone said.
No. The concern was that they would be hybridized.
Yes.
But they haven't.
I remember reading these things. Really happen. I'm such a nerd. The Africanized bee, right?
Oh, yeah. So they were going to kill us all.
So where are they
now? Loud noises really tick them off, is basically...
There was horror movies about them. Oh, look, here it is, 1993. I'm looking online. So it's spreading in the 90s. It's in California. It's up to Nevada. It's all pretty much the Southwest, though. Didn't go to Florida. But they got
killed. Now we're concerned that all the bees are dying.
Yes, that's
so. This is a flip.
That's all right. So collapse. Really.
Oh, sorry. Daniel wants us to not talk about this. So go ahead.
Personal projects.
This is much more interesting than personal projects. I'm still trying to finish up the stupid pipeline book because I keep rewriting stuff. I mean, at this point, we've met with close to 2,900 church leaders now, and walked them through coaching through that framework. And so the crazy thing is, you know, when you talk to that many people, it begins to morph over time and you change this or adjust that. But, you know, I've been encouraged just to complete the thing because an editor is going to rip it up anyway. So I'm like, okay, thanks. That's actually encouraging.
That's good. All right. So for me, it's probably I'm too far away to talk about the book that I'm writing, my next book that I'm writing. So I won't focus on that one.
Called The Sixth Silver Bullet.
How did you know? No,
Silver Bullet. So I figured. Ding.
Yeah. So I won't talk about that because we're still a little bit away from that. But what I do want to talk about is the podcast that my wife and I do together. It's called the In Between Podcast. IM. That's my last name. Inbetween.org.
I just got that.
So it's a podcast on marriage, parenting, faith, and everything in between. We're not experts. We've been married for 12 years and have three kids, and we don't position ourselves as that at all. But what we do is we just talk about candidly marriage, parenting issues, faith, stuff that we're struggling with. And we bring experts on as well, a few interviews here and there. And
Have you brought Ed on?
We haven't brought Ed on.
Have you brought me on?
I'm at the Pipeline Conference
He hasn't brought either one of us on. So apparently we're not experts and he's tired of us.
So I don't mind the Pipeline Conference. At least you're there.
But on the podcast, so you can look up In Between to see that, and you can go to inbetween.org. But if you're looking for an episode to tune in, especially our audience here for new churches, I do want to point you to episode 22 and 23. So episode 22 and 23, we interviewed a psychologist, Simon Shea, Dr. Simon Shea, on pornography. And he talks about on episode 22, how to deal with and how to talk about pornography with your kids. And episode 23 is on pornography as an adult and how to, if you're struggling with pornography, what to think about that. And what's the reason we interviewed him and the reason I'm so excited about these episodes is because he brings a lot of research. I mean, this is what he does. He counsels on pornography addiction. And he brings in a lot of information about guilt and shame and just stuff that I've never read about in any of the more popular books on pornography and how to deal with that. Because if you're not dealing with it, people in your church are dealing with it. So this is going to be a huge episode or collection of episodes that I'm super excited about.
Very cool.
So this last question to end our time together is really what each of our prayers are for the church. So not our personal prayer requests, but what we wake up thinking about for the church, praying for the church, our hope for the capital C church. So let's kind of go around and share what our prayers are for the church.
Yeah, so I'm praying right now that we'd see our, I mean, it's 1,000 things. This is always tricky because there's 100 things where I would say, you know, biblical preaching or biblical eldership, whatever. But for me, it's that people might show and share the love of Jesus more faithfully and fruitfully.
Awesome. Todd?
Man, that was quick. I mean, especially for Ed. I mean, that was like,
dude,
it was a word count.
Like, is that Ed?
I think Jesus' last words should be our first priority. He before between his resurrection and ascension, he talked about sharing the gospel. I think we need to prioritize that.
All right, then. I would say, you know, for me is that we would really stop treating baptism like it's the finish line, that we would actually engage our church in between Sundays and their community. And I think we do that by helping them understand they're part of the Great Commission. And that when we talk about, you know, when we talk about people as God's workmanship and he's got things for them to do, it's as much about them becoming more Christ-like and just doing life as other than, oh, I got to find my special niche calling. It really is just growing in front of people.
Fantastic. And for me, it's Matthew 9:37-38. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few.
So pretty much you agree with me and we disagree with Todd.
Yep. I'm just gonna take them after you all drop them off.
Which, by the way, is why you're not speaking in Amplify, but that's another for another day.
Why isn't Daniel speaking there?
Well, because, you know, he's awesome, but he wasn't available this week.
All right. So, I mean, just elaborating a little bit more on that. I mean, that's why we do what we do here at New Churches, the way that we invest into creating resources so that you can plant churches, that you can plant campuses, that you can multiply. I mean, that's the heart and the focus for New Churches. I mean, yeah, we sell courses. Yeah, we sell memberships and we do talk about that here and there, but that's just really to fund what you see on the site right now and for us to continue to pour out ministry resources that way. As you guys know, New Churches is a part of Lifeway. We're a nonprofit. It's not like we're shareholders or we're out to make a ton of money or that. It's just, you know, we got to fund the ministry so that it keeps on growing and thriving. And that's why we do what we do, right? We love the church. We want to serve the church in our mission of making disciples and of multiplying. So thanks again for listening into the podcast. Be sure to enter into our big draw to win a trifecta ticket to Pipeline. And let's say you're like, well, I can't make the October dates. Hey, we'll give you a ticket to next year's conference or one of our regionals if you do that as well. So just go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and review, screenshot it, email it to me, Daniel@newchurches.com, and you will be entered into the draw. All right. Any last words, guys?
Hey, love working with you guys and appreciate all the folks who listen. Hopefully it's been encouragement to you.
Love you. Mean it.
All right. See you.